$1,000 that the Biden administration proposes is definitely better than Trump. But the vast bulk of that money is going to go into contracts, federal government contracts with big businesses to repair roads and bridges and all of that. And the other part of it is going to go in grants to states and cities and counties. And you know what they're going to do with the money? They're going to sign contracts with big companies to do what they have to do there. And those big companies are going to use that money the way they use all their money over the last 50 years. We know the answer. They're going to give big pay packages to their CEOs. They're going to give fat dividends to their shareholders. They're going to spend money to automate and get rid of jobs that can make them profits. We know what they're going to do. They're going to reproduce this system. And that's the problem. And that's what's not being faced. And that will undermine and continue to undermine the cozy monopoly that cannot survive this period of economic decline. This is Richard Wolff for Economic Update, hoping you found this interesting and looking forward to speaking with you again next week.
WBAI's local station board, the Pacifica Foundation Board, responsible for advising local management and operations, is holding its next meeting Wednesday, June 9th at 7 p.m. Interested in becoming a member of the local station board? Well, elections for the board are coming up, so come get a taste of what it might be like to serve on the WBAI local station board by attending the next meeting Wednesday, June 9th at 7 p.m. It's a Zoom access meeting. It's accessible to the public and includes an opportunity for public comment. The fastest and the easiest way to join the meeting is by using the link on the Pacifica calendar and on the WBAI website. You can also dial in from your phone. To get those call-in numbers, just go to WBAI's main webpage, WBAI.org, and we hope you can join us at the next LSB meeting, June 9th. Again, it's at 7 p.m. This is listener-sponsored, locally controlled WBAI New York.
This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned for more programming coming up in the next hour. Off the Hook, we'll be back on the air at its regular time next week. Until then, take a listen to the upcoming program that's about to air.
To wake up. What is reality? Reality is this. We are so tied up in our minds that we've lost our senses and don't realize that the air stinks, water tastes of chlorine, the human landscape looks like a trash heap, and much of our food tastes like plastic. Time to wake up. Signs, words, numbers, symbols, and ideas with the real world. Most of us would have rather money than tangible wealth, and a great occasion is somehow spoiled for us unless photographed. Is oddly
more fun for us than the original event. This is a disaster, for as a result of confusing the real world of nature with mere signs, such as bank balances and contracts, we are destroying nature. Time to wake up. You see, we all know what reality is, but we can't describe it. Just as we all know how to beat our hearts and shape our bones, but cannot say how it is done. To get in touch with reality, there is an art of meditation. It is the art of temporarily silencing the mind, of stopping the chatter in the skull. Will you try an experiment with me? Simply close your eyes and allow your ears to hear all sounds around you. Don't try to name or identify these sounds. Just hear them as you would listen to music. As when you hear a flute or a guitar without asking what it means.
Wonderful way to start a show.
I think we set the tone for a $10,000 hour. My mind is clear. I have a sense of reality once again.
Yes.
And Alan Watts in the 1950s was saying, stop taking selfies.
Yeah.
And selfie hadn't even been invented yet.
I know. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Christine Blasdale, and I'm joined in studio by the magnificent director of the Pacifica Radio Archives, Mr. Mark Torres. And Mark, that voice, which is synonymous with so many of our listeners who have come into Pacifica and started listening, they tuned in to that wonderful man and his voice, and tell our listeners who that was.
That is the one, the only Alan Watts, and he is so identifiable with Pacifica Radio. If I ever am present at a table for the Pacifica Radio Archives Collection or KPFK or any other of our stations, everybody always asks me, do you have any Alan Watts? That's like the first name that comes out of people's mouths. They identify Alan Watts because he is the first person to bring Eastern philosophy to a Western audience and make sense of it. It's as relevant today as it was then.
Completely. And he was, luckily for us, for Pacifica Radio, he had a program for many years based out of KPFA.
The very first time he went on the air was KPFA. He was one of the original broadcasters. And thanks to the founding of KPFK in Los Angeles, the tapes started being recorded and sent down here, and that's when they started valuing his program, and we started archiving those programs.
And speaking of archiving, the work that you do at the Pacifica Radio Archives, the collection of Alan Watts is massive. And I don't know the exact how many hours that you have, but the thank you gift that we're offering in this fund drive, I do believe, has...
it has the entire Alan Watts collection.
The entire Alan Watts collection. So this is, it's called Voices That Changed the World. This is, now I had said before it was a 1,200-hour collection, but I think I have been corrected since then.
It's actually a few more than that. It's actually over 1,400 hours on that first edition, yes.
So over 1,400 hours, and many of those hours is the collection of Alan Watts. And so our wonderful listeners who are Alan Watts fans, admirers, will be happy to know that when you call up and pledge your support for this radio station and also the archives, because we're supporting each other in our fund drives. The archives does all of these amazing digitizing of these very, very rare tapes and puts them onto a USB drive for ease of use. It used to be we had to have a whole bunch of CDs, right? And now we have this beautiful, it's just a small USB drive that people are going to get, and it has over 1,400 hours of some of the most important voices.
Yeah, and this is one of the last times we'll be offering the USB drive. We're going to be moving towards a subscription-based streaming platform. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is a moment to get to those phones right now. A $250 donation will get this entire collection, over 1,400 hours of hand curated by the Pacifica Radio Archives staff. The best of the best of our collection. Dr. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Rosa Parks, Bob Dylan, all the great names associated with Pacifica Radio from 20 years before NPR even started. Pacifica Radio was there since 1949, and we want to be here another 60 years. And you can do that by calling right now. And Christine, I think we said we needed 15 people calling in this hour.
That would be that would be a great goal to have 15 people, but you know what? Why not have 20 people?
You want to call this number. It's 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
A $250 pledge for this amazing 1,400-hour collection on a USB would mean a lot of people calling, right? And we want a lot of people to call that number.
It's 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
But I'm also going to encourage those who, life has been good to you. You have the opportunity maybe to donate at a larger level for a $1,000 pledge. Not only you could get four of these USB drives and donate them to a library or a school. That's for a $1,000 pledge. And the $10,000 level, well, if you can do that, there's so much that we're going to include in that package. But the number to call, if you can make those larger donations,
you want to call this number. It's 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
And if you want to pledge $1,000 and take four of the USB drives from the Pacifica Radio Archives, Voices That Changed the World, it's over 1,400 hours of content you will never find anywhere else. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who we're going to hear from very soon, Rosa Parks, James Baldwin, Bob Dylan, of course, Alan Watts, Fannie Lou Hamer, John Coltrane, Maya Angelou, Malcolm X, the list goes on and on and on. But you need to make that call right now because you fuel this radio station. You are the batteries in Pacifica, and we rely on you. And right now you can make a tax-deductible contribution by calling
212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
And if there's any super comfortable people out there, like let's say George Lucas is driving down the freeway, he's listening, he heard Alan Watts, he said, whoa, that's pretty cool. Oh, you have Dr. Martin Luther King from 1957 until just a few days before his death in 1968. Wow. You know what? I'm going to give you $1,000,000. And then we shut the fund drive down tomorrow and go on with our day. So, yes, Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, all the types where $1,000,000 is, you know, part of your donations throughout the year and make sure that we continue on the air without reserve for, you know, needing to raise money, which we have to do, you know, one fund drive at a time. Let's see if we can shortcut that with a big, giant donation.
And there are so many people who have the wherewithal to do that in our earshot, who listen to this radio station. We know we're your dirty little secret because we know that there are people that are producers and executives that have that kind of money, and you can make a tax deductible contribution to one of the most important resources that humanity has right now, and that is Pacifica Radio. And the supporting of this station during this hour, you're also supporting the Pacifica Radio archives, which we have to maintain. We need to actually digitize many more tapes, don't we?
That's right. We are actually working with a university and a Steven Spielberg associated organization to help digitize the remaining 50,000 tapes within the next 5 years. Because these tapes are decaying. They're falling off the reels. They're very old. They're 60 years. They're 70 years old.
Wow.
And, you know, tape only lasts so long. It's a race to save this history. Your donations will help preserve the programs that we're digitizing today. They're born digital today, and it's costly to keep these archives up and running, to keep backups, make sure that they're in multiple locations in case anything happens.
And to have the temperature control in the vault, that has
Absolutely.
To be 24 hours a day, 365
yes.
days. What is the temperature that needs to be at just to even maintain?
Well, right now we're at 58 degrees. It's very chilly in there,
yeah.
And it's humidity controlled. We have to have the lowest humidity that we can get. It's usually around 20%, which is very dry. The tapes last longer in these conditions. This is the type of training that we do. We do transferring every single day to preserve another tape. So when you call and donate $250, you are benefiting and you are getting gifted our work that we've done over the last 10 years. So please get to those phones.
So please do give us a call at 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
We need 15 people calling in this hour. You heard our Alan Watts tape. We're going to be hearing a bunch of other
yes.
wonderful clips that we curated just for this hour. Now, if somebody donates $15,000, Christine, we're doing a tour of the archives as well.
Awesome.
You get to put your hands
awesome.
On those original tapes like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. from 1957. One of the earliest recordings. People didn't even know who he was at that time.
And I was here. Who was the lovely, oh my gosh, her name escapes me, the lovely woman, the actress from Star Trek, Uhura, Uhura.
Oh, yes. She came and did a site visit. Yes.
Yes. She came and did an on-site visit, and you showed her one of, I think it was Martin Luther King Jr.'s, one of the original tapes, and it brought tears to her eyes.
Absolutely. And we also, I also showed her a 1963 three recordings we did with Leonard Nimoy before he was cast in Star Trek. And she was like, wow, this place is amazing.
Nichelle Nichols,
of course. So that was one of the programs that really changed, you know, people's thoughts, where there was a multicultural crew working together, exploring the universe together. And
during a time of great racism.
Absolutely. And Pacifica Radio, we've collected these recordings because we're like audio archaeologists. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that these primary source materials are preserved in their entirety without being taken out of context and used for diabolical means. We want these reference materials to be available for everybody today and for future generations. So please get to those phones. Looks like a couple of phone lines are open.
You want to call this number. It's 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
Is the number to call. $250 donation, and you can take away this incredible collection. Christine, what are we going to play a clip here? What are we
Yes,
do?
I think we should. We should let the listeners get a little taste, an appetizer, so to speak, of this massive collection over 1,400 hours. It's on a USB drive. This makes a great gift for a young person, for yourself. I have mine, and I love to listen to it in the car because I have a long commute, so I can listen to the audio books. I can listen to Martin Luther King Jr. I can listen to Alan Watts for hours and hours. It is a great gift. It is a $250 tax-deductible contribution. A great portion of that donation is tax-deductible. So here's the number to call, and we're going to queue up something.
212-209-2950.
I think... to explain and express how important it is to support not only this radio station, but the archives as well. Do you have a clip from the most recently rescued MLK tape? Do you have that?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Okay. And this would be track number 12. Now, this one is from London, 1964. And the tape was just labeled King, 1965. Because that's when it was actually in this building, but it's actually from 64, right before Dr. Martin Luther King receives his Nobel Peace Prize. He makes a stop in London, and KPFK back then had a foreign correspondent in London with a reel-to-reel tape machine. Remember?
Big, bulky machine.
No digital recording at this time, not even cassettes. This is a reel-to-reel machine that would record 45 minutes one direction and immediately on one track and then flip over and record back on the other side so that he could get an hour and a half, the entire recording. There's no other copy of this in existence.
Really?
Pacifica Radio has the only recording. BBC has a 30-second film clip, and that's it.
Wow.
So we have the full speech, and it's very rare. And Dr. King, you know, is on a celebratory journey to pick up the Nobel Peace Prize.
Right.
You know, which is a great honor. And, you know, I don't know if there was any champion of nonviolence that had received one. Maybe Gandhi did. We'll have to check, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. But it was a great honor, and he was fulfilling a obligation to speak before a multi, various religious groups got together, non-denominational groups got together. He sold out the church. It had to be closed-circuit TV'd to three other churches and three other anterooms where thousands of people were trying to hear what he had to say.
So other than those people that were actually there in 1964 in London, right?
Yeah.
And then the different churches that had the closed-circuit TV... The only people who are going to be able to hear this speech in its entirety are our wonderful donors, our wonderful listeners who call up
right
and pledge
now.
Support right now. We're going to throw out the phone number, and then we're going to go without further ado to this very, very important tape. And then once this plays, we're going to come back, and we're going to tell you how difficult it was for the team, for Mark Torres to save this really from deteriorating and to never, it could have never been heard. It could never have been collected and saved if it was not for your donations. So here's the number to call. You want to get the voices that change the world. It's a 1,400-hour collection on a USB drive, so easy to put in your car, so easy to put on your laptop. You can transfer the files. It has a full directory of all of the thousands of names and topics that they're speaking about. It is a $250 donation.
You want to call this number. It's 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
And we're looking for an angel out there who can pledge at the $1,000 level or more, $1,000, $5,000, $10,000, you name it. We need you more than ever right now to call that number. It's a tax-deductible contribution.
212-209-2950.
So do you want to cue this up for us?
All right. Well, here we go. This is 1964, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in London. And let's take it away.
You know, there are certain words in every academic discipline that soon become stereotypes and cliches. Every Academic discipline has its technical vocabulary. Modern psychology has a word that is probably used more than any other word in modern psychology. It is the word maladjusted. You've heard that word. This is the ring and cry of modern child psychology. And certainly we all want to live well-adjusted lives in order to avoid neurotic and schizophrenic personalities. But I must say to you this evening, my friends, as I come to a close, that there are some things in my own nation, and there are some things in the world which I'm proud to be maladjusted, to which I call upon all men of goodwill to be maladjusted until the good societies realize. I must honestly say to you that I never intend to become adjusted to segregation, discrimination, colonialism, and these particular forces. I must honestly say to you that I never intend to adjust myself to religious bigotry. I must honestly say to you that I never intend to adjust myself to economic conditions that will take necessities from the many to give luxuries to the few. I must say to you tonight that I never intend to become adjusted to the madness of militarism and the self-defeating effects of physical violence. But in a day when Sputniks and explorers are dashing through outer space, and guided ballistic missiles are carving highways of death through the stratosphere, no nation can win a war. It is no longer a choice between violence and nonviolence. It is either nonviolence or non-existence. The alternative to disarmament, the alternative to a greater suspension of nuclear tests, the alternative to strengthening the United Nations and thereby disarming the whole world, may well be a civilization plunged into the abyss of annihilation. And I assure you that I will never adjust to the madness of militarism. You see, it may well be that our whole world is in need at this time for a new organization, the International Association for the Advancement of Creative Maladjustment. Men and women, men and women who will be as maladjusted as the prophet Amos, who in the midst of the injustices of his day could cry out in words that echo across the centuries, "Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream." As maladjusted as the late Abraham Lincoln, the great president of our nation, who had the vision to see that the United States could not survive half slave and half free. As maladjusted as Thomas Jefferson, who in the midst of an age amazingly adjusted to slavery, could etch across the pages of history words lifted to cosmic proportions. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. As maladjusted as Jesus of Nazareth, who could say to the men and women of his day, "He who lives by the sword will perish by the sword." And through such maladjustment, we will be able to emerge from the long and desolate midnight of man's inhumanity to man into the bright and glittering daybreak of freedom and justice.
Wow, I got goosebumps all over. That was a clip from a recently saved from the, from almost the ashes, from the Pacifica Radio Archives, of course, of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and that is from 1964. I was born in 64. That's an old tape. But it was thankfully it was saved, and it's included in this massive collection of Dr. King's speeches in this USB drive that we're offering, right?
Yeah, keep in mind that everything that we offer are unique recordings from Pacifica Radio Archives, so they're not the standard "I Have a Dream" speech from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but they are unique recordings of Pacifica going out into the field, like, for example, going out to when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in 1967 visited folk singer Joan Baez and her mom that were incarcerated for burning draft cards, and had a word with them. We gave this recording to Joan Baez a few years ago, and it brought her to tears. She had no idea that Dr. King gave a little message in support of her and her mom, who are in jail, and it brought her to tears. These are the type of recordings that we have, community radio recordings. These are not recordings that you can get anywhere else because Pacifica is a unique entity. We're a legacy network that began in 1949. This is 20 years before NPR. And NPR was only, they were only able to begin thanks to the 1967 Communications Act. And, you know, before that, you know, this radio experiment was the only thing in town. It was a community-based network of radio stations that was supported 100% by the community. And that's why we reach out to you. We started this concept of community radio that was community sponsored
in the very beginning.
Absolutely. So this is why it's important for you to get to the phones right now. And what a great gift to get is this collection of Pacifica radio recordings. This is our history, our legacy, and it's unique. You can't get it anywhere else. And for a $250 donation, you're getting a priceless value of like the Smithsonian of audio collection from 1949 until the present. So call now, $250 donation.
You want to call this number. It's 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
We're going to have to find out how many more people we need to reach our goal.
We'll do that during the next.
But we need at least 10 people calling in this hour, if you can. We really would like the larger donors, Christine.
Well, and you'll get something special. In addition, if you pledge $1,000, of course, you're welcome to have four of these USB drives. Remember, each USB drive has over 1,400 hours of some of the most important voices that need to be heard. We need to be reminded as well. Inspiring voices like Alan Watts and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. But we also have, my goodness, there's poetry, there's the audio books, there's Dick Gregory, who I love, and I wish I could have interviewed him before his passing, but John Coltrane, Maya Angelou, Fannie Lou Hamer. We're going to try and play a clip from her in, oh my gosh, her testimony is riveting and so important for us to hear today. But it's your donation that keeps these voices alive. If not, the archives would not be able to save these important tapes, these valuable to humanity tapes. It is your donations that help us. And for a $250 pledge, you will receive one of these USB drives, the voices that change the world. But if you can pledge at the $1,000 level, of course, you can take four of them if you wish and gift them to libraries or schools. There are people and different organizations who have come before and donated at that level. We would love to have you, or you can do it in honor of someone that you love, maybe a dearly departed person in your life or an organization. That's for the $1,000 level. But the important thing right now is that you call 212-209-2950. If it's at the $250 level to get the voices that change the world, the 1400 hour collection, please do it right now. And if you can pledge more, please do that. We need all hands on deck right now.
You want to call this number. It's 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
I want to, can we go back and play the second clip from Dr. King, from that resurrected, that saved tape? And before we play that, which is track 13, Ricky, thank you. Before we play that, can you let our listeners know the process you went through to get, because we just heard that first clip, right? And we're going to hear the second one. How were you able to resurrect that tape?
Okay, well, it was very tricky because, number one, it was done at a speed that was not typical of today. So it was done at 3 3/4 speed, which is somewhere between a cassette and a normal reel-to-reel speed. And on top of that, as I said earlier, side one, or the first part of the speech, was on the left channel, And then it flipped around and started recording. Now, the reason it does that is so you wouldn't have to
change the reel
and miss something.
Right, right.
Like, this was able, like, in between a pause, he hit a button and it started recording on the right side. So when we tried to play it, first of all, it was at a weird speed and it was part forwards and part backwards. So I had to initially just digitize it stereo. I flipped it around, and then to get the speed right, you have to – it wasn't exact science, unfortunately, on this one. It got me in the ballpark, but I had to really know the tone of Dr. King's voice
so that I could match it.
And it sounded natural.
So he doesn't sound like a chipmunk, or he doesn't sound like, you know, Paul Robeson.
I'm so happy to be here.
Right.
Yeah. So, yes. So we got that done, and I flipped the right channel, attached it to the left channel, and lo and behold, we heard Dr. King's voice for the first time in over 50 years, and it was like, you know, you could get the chills,
goosebumps.
And it was just amazing because he was at the top of his game. You don't hear any pages flipping, and the 30 seconds that we found from the BBC, we didn't see him reading from a script. So
this all came from him.
It just came from him. He was speaking from the heart and from, you know, several years of presenting the information, but you know, the church wanted an update on the movement for integration, mm-hmm. and we hadn't had the Voter Rights Act yet.
Nope.
We hadn't had the Civil Rights Act yet. So there were still a lot of struggles with equality and justice yet to be determined with policy, and Dr. King was reporting on that to an audience that was riveted. It was like us hearing from Nelson Mandela or Archbishop Tutu back in the apartheid days.
So when people are listening to this, when our audience is listening to this, we want to also bring their awareness to the fact that segregation was in full effect, that the height of racism and lynchings and beatings and crimes against our brothers and sisters was at an all-time high. It was actually very, very risky for Dr. King to speak anywhere publicly.
Yeah.
And again, this audio recording that you're about to hear is it's only available right now through this donation of $250, and this is the only place that you're going to be able to find it. And it's thanks to donors before you who have called up and pledged their donation. So I'm going to invite you to call right now at 212-209-2950. Ask for Voices That Change the World. It is a collection on a USB drive, a $250 donation. And without further ado, let's get back, please, to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And this is from London, 1964.
Now, as you know, we have been engaged in the United States in a massive struggle to make desegregation and finally integration a reality. And in that struggle, there has been an undergirding philosophy, the philosophy of nonviolence, the philosophy and method of nonviolent resistance. And I'd like to say just a few words about the method or the philosophy that has undergirded our struggle. And first, I want to say that I'm still convinced that nonviolence is the most potent weapon available to oppress people in their struggle for freedom and justice. It has a way of disarming the opponent, exposing his moral defenses. It weakens his morale, and at the same time, it works on his conscience, and he just doesn't know how to handle it. If he doesn't beat you, wonderful. If he beats you, you develop the quiet courage of accepting blows without retaliating. If he doesn't put you in jail, wonderful. Nobody with any sense loves to go to jail. But if he puts you in jail, you go in that jail and transform it from a dungeon of shame to a haven of freedom and human dignity. Even if he tries to kill you, you develop the inner conviction that there are some things so dear, some things so precious, some things so eternally true that they are worth dying for. And if a man has not discovered something that he will die for, he isn't fit to live. And this is what the nonviolent discipline says. And And then the other thing about it is that it gives the individual a way of struggling to secure moral ends through moral means. One of the great debates of history has been over the whole question of ends and means. And all the way back from the days of Plato's dialogues, coming on up through Machiavelli and others, there have been those individuals who argued that the end justifies the means. But in a real sense, a nonviolent philosophy comes along and says that the end is pre-existent in the means. The means represent the ideal in the making and the end in process. And so that in the long run of history, immoral means cannot bring about moral ends. Somehow man must come to the point that he sees the necessity of having ends and means cohering, so to speak. And this is one of the things that is basic in the nonviolent philosophy at its best. It gives one a way and a method of struggle which says that you can seek to secure moral ends through moral means.
And that is the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. from London, 1964. And if you liked that, please get to the phones right now. You can take away the entire collection of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., which is contained in the Voices That Change the World, a 1,400-hour collection that is put together by the Pacifica Radio Archives and offered on this fund drive today. The $250 donation will allow you to get not just what you heard, a unique recording of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. from London, but 1,400 additional programs. Please, if you are able to make a larger donation, get to the phone right now. If you can make a $1,000 donation or $5,000 donation, get to the phones.
You want to call this number. It's 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
My name is Mark Torres, director of the Pacifica Radio Archives, and joined by Christine Blasdale.
Also your friendly fun drive lady voice. I just wanted to let everybody know that the lines are lighting up, which is a beautiful thing, but we need all hands on deck. Our goal is to have at least 15 calls. That's you calling right now from the east side, you calling from the west side, getting voices that change the world. This is a very unique collection. You cannot find it anywhere else on the planet. It is not 500 hours. It is not 1,000 hours. It's over 1,400 hours of voices that need to be heard today more than ever. People who have fought for peace, equality, and justice, like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks, James Baldwin, Alan Watts, Muhammad Ali, Fannie Lou Hamer, John Coltrane. The list goes on and on and on. The number to call to get this very unique gift is 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Call right now, because this is a very exclusive thank you gift from the Pacifica Radio Archives. And this is so that future generations can also discover and treasure those very powerful and important voices that changed the world.
You want to call this number. It's 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
And if you want to call in right now and you want us to thank you on air, you can do that, but you got to pick up the phone and call and pledge at the $250 level, or you can pledge at the higher level if you like. You can pledge at the $1,000 level or the $5,000 level or whatever level you feel comfortable with. But remember, it's a tax-deductible contribution, and you are doing the best thing you can in this era of, well, I don't want to say fake news,
but we can say consolidated news, where very few news organizations, exist. Very few independent ones exist. They are owned by giant corporations, and their mission statement is not to bring you the news. It's to raise money. It's to make money.
It's in their charter to make a profit.
And the lines between entertainment and information have been blurred. It's very difficult to get the straight scoop on any particular story. You know that you can get that here. So please, if you value what we've been doing for over 60 years, starting in 1959. This is a moment that we need you to get to the phones right now. We definitely need at least 10 more of you calling right now. Can you imagine if you donate one of these jump drives to a college, school, or university of your choice? The incredible resources that they will now have at their fingertips is priceless. Please get to the phones now.
You want to call this number. It's 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
And with your contribution, with your $250 tax-deductible contribution, remember, you are helping digitize recordings that could be lost forever. There are 50,000 different tapes that need to be digitized. We need to take them from the medium of tape because they're disintegrating. We need to have them digitized and preserved for humanity, for the rest of the future generations to come as well. So that's what you're doing with your donation. You're helping preserve these types of voices that really need to be heard right now.
It's 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
We have a goal of 15 new members right now calling in and getting the Voices That Changed the World 1400-hour collection. It's on a USB drive. It is so amazing that all of these amazing voices are on this tiny little USB drive. But that's the amazing part about technology. And you're going to get that. We're going to send that to you, to your home, and you can keep it yourself if you like, or you can gift it to a young person, gift it to a school. But now is your chance right now to make that tax-deductible contribution. What better way to spend your money than to helping preserve maybe the next future Martin Luther King Jr. tape that's just, you know, in a pile somewhere up in the archives?
212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
There's a call that's coming in right now. We have about two lines open. Please do call in. And if you put on hold, just stay right there. We're getting to your calls as fast as we can.
Okay. I don't know. Should we get to a Malcolm X clip here, or did we want to go in a different direction?
We can go to Malcolm X or Fannie Lou.
Okay. If you put it that way, we're going to have to go to Fannie Lou Hamer because
this is so important.
It is really important because this woman in Louisville, Mississippi, she was beaten to within an inch of her life fighting for the right to vote. She was doing a community voter registration drive, going and registering people, pulled over by the state troopers and beaten within an inch of her life. And she survived, but she had permanent damage to herself. And she tells this story. And so many of us who do not take advantage of the privilege we have to vote must listen to this woman committed to making change in her community. Now, of course, today, the Voter Registration Act has been gutted in many ways.
They're purging the black and brown voters left and right.
So now these Jim Crow laws have returned with a vengeance. It's like a super virus type vengeance where they are limiting the way people can vote. They're limiting the number of places to vote, and they are purging voter rolls so that it makes it very difficult to actually vote. So all of these strategies are in place today, but this was the original woman who stood up in the face of all of this opposition and said, my voice needs to be heard. And for so many people not to take advantage of that right to be heard, to have your vote count and your voice heard, you know, when you hear this, I hope you change your mind. So let's play this one. This one also is from 1964. The 1964 presidential election is on the horizon, and this is the first time many blacks in the South have had the opportunity to vote. So let's listen to Fannie Lou Hamer. This one would be, I guess, number four.
Yeah.
And we're going to hear her talking about the process that she went through to get the right to vote throughout the South. Let's hear this.
I had been to a voter registration workshop, you know, they were just training and teaching us how to register to pass the literacy test. And it was giving us enough training that we could tell other people, you know, how to pass the literacy test. So we had attended a workshop from the 3rd of June through the 8th. We finished the workshop on the 8th, and then we got the Continental Trailway bus to come back to Mississippi. And we got to Winona, Mississippi, I would say about 10:30 that Sunday morning on our way back to Greenwood. And that was, we had got in 25 miles mm-hmm. of the voter registration headquarters. And the bus stopped in Winona, you know, at the bus terminal. And four people got off of the bus, you know, to use the restaurant to get food. And two people got off, used the washroom while I was still on the bus. When I looked through the glass, I saw the people rush out, and one of the girls what had gone in the washroom, she just got back on the bus, and I stepped off to see what had happened. And Miss Ponder told me that it was a state highway patrolman and a chief of police on the inside, and began to tap them on the shoulders with billy clubs and order them to get out. And I said, well, this is Mississippi. So I got back on the bus, and as soon as I was seated, I saw them when they began to put the five people what was, you know, off the bus, but they wasn't over 6 feet from the bus, began to put them in the highway patrolman's car. And I stepped off again because I was holding one of the ladies' irons, you know, that they was arresting. And she said, get back on the bus, Miss Hamer. And then I heard somebody scream from the car that she was in and said, get that one there. And then a white man stepped out of a car and told me I was under arrest. And when he opened the door and I went to get in the car, he kicked me. And they carried me on down to the county jail where they had the other highway patrolman had carried the other five. And they, you know, when I walked in with the two white men that had carried me down, and they cursed me all the way down. They would ask me questions, and when I would try to answer, they would tell me to hush. And when I walked inside of the booking room, one of the policemen went over and jumped up on one of the Negro's feet that was with us, and then they just began to, you know, put us in cells. And I was put in a cell with Miss Yvesta Simpson. And after I was put in this cell, I could just hear some horrible screams and horrible sounds, you know, of licks. And I saw one of the girls was 15 years old, was with us, when she passed my cell, and she was real bloody. And then they asked the little man that cleaned up the jail to go inside and mop up that blood. And then I heard some more screaming, and I heard some awful sounds. And I would hear somebody when they say, can't you say yes, sir, nigger? Can't you say yes, sir? And they would call her names that I wouldn't want to go on tape. And she said, yes, I can say yes, sir. So I said, and she said, I don't know you well enough. And I would hear when she would hit the floor again. And finally, she began to pray. And she asked God to have mercy on these people because they didn't know what they was doing. And after a while, they passed my cell door with this young woman, Miss Annelle Ponder, and one of her eyes looked like blood, and her hair was standing up on her head, and her clothes had been torn from the shoulder down to the waist. And then three white men came to my cell, and one of them was a state highway patrolman because he was wearing a little silver plate across his pocket that said John L. Bassinger. And he asked me where I was from, and I told him I was from Ruleville. And he said, I'm going to check that. And he went out, and I guess he called Ruleville. And they didn't like me in Ruleville because I worked with voter registration there. And when he came back, he said, you damn right. They said, you're from Ruleville, all right. And we going to make you wish you was dead. And they led me out of that cell into another cell. And he gave a Negro prisoner a blackjack, and he ordered me to lay down on a bunk bed. And a Negro prisoner said, do you want me to beat her with this, sir? And he said, you're damn right, because if you don't, you know what I'll do for you. And I laid down on the bunk like he ordered me to do. And the first Negro beat me. He beat me until he was exhausted. And after he beat, the state highway patrolman ordered the second Negro to take the blackjack. And during the time he was beating, I began to work my feet because that was a horrible experience. And the state highway patrolman ordered the first Negro that had beat to sit on my feet while the second one beat. And I just began to scream where I couldn't control it. And then the white man got up and began to beat me in my head. I have a blood clot now in the artery to the left thigh and a permanent kidney injury on the right side from that beating. These are the things that we go through in the state of Mississippi, just trying to be treated like a human being. But still, this is called a part of America.
Oh, my goodness. Every time I hear that, Mark Torres, I think about the trauma that she endured just to get the right to vote, just to be able to vote, and the hatred that she faced in a very, very frightening situation that many of us probably would not have had the wherewithal that she did.
Absolutely. This is
Hamer.
It's a unique recording. This is, you know, going to Ms. Hamer and conducting this interview and getting this personal story that otherwise would not be heard, because how many people go to Ruleville, Mississippi? You know, it's out of the way. It's obscure. But, you know, these are the resources that Pacifica Radio provides to all of our stations. We get out into the community and we bring these real stories to you, and they become these legendary recordings. And we have over 50,000 of these recordings in the Pacifica Radio archives going back to 1949. And this is your chance to get 1,400 of these hand-curated recordings from the Pacifica Radio Archives. Call right now. It's a $250 donation. It's urgent because we have about 5 minutes to raise, to get six people to call right now. We need you to call right now.
You want to call this number. It's 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
The gift of history. These unredacted recordings, these unedited recordings in their entirety, are original source materials that really should be in the Smithsonian, in other collections like that. You can put them in your personal collection. You can give them to family and friends. You can give them to a school, a university. You can give them to your children to use. We need you to call right now.
212-209-2950.
We have less than 2 minutes. We have less than 2 minutes for you to jump on board right now and join these wonderful listeners who have called up and donated. Carolyn Feeney, there's an anonymous caller, and Michael Schublin. Thank you so very much, Michael. You two folks can join these wonderful donors, these sponsors of Voices That Change the World. It's a 1,400-hour collection. The voice, you know, if let's not let Fannie Lou Hamer speak in vain about what she experienced and what many people to this day still experience in this country. The number to call to support this, the number to call to keep the Pacifica Radio Archives, allow them the ability to help digitize recordings that could be lost forever. Every single penny you call up and pledge with today is going to help preserve that. It's a $250 tax-deductible contribution. You'll get this on a USB drive, and it's over 1,400 hours of some of the most important voices ever recorded.
You want to call this number. It's 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
You will not find this collection anywhere else. You will not find that Martin Luther King Jr. Speech that we played earlier anywhere else on the planet, only here right now. The collection that they have of Dr. King is so massive, but you'll also, of course, get the Fannie Lou Hamer, the Rosa Parks, the huge Alan Watts collection. This is an extraordinary gift for any young person or yourself. Call right now, though.
212-209-2950. 50.
Keep those calls coming in. We need at least three more people to make our goal. Help us make our goal. I want to thank so much.
You can do it.
The wonderful Ricky behind my wonderful Ricky. Engineer. I want to thank you, Mark Torres, director of the Pacifica Radio Archives. The work you do is so amazing. I love and adore you.
You're more than welcome.
I really do. And folks, I'm Christine Blasdale. We're going to go answer some phones right now. Hopefully we'll take your call.
Keep calling.
Keep calling.
Time to wake up. What is reality? Reality is this. We are so tied up in our minds that we've lost our senses and don't realize that the air stinks, water tastes of chlorine, the human landscape looks like a trash heap, and much of our food tastes like plastic. Time to wake up. Confuse signs, words, numbers, symbols, and ideas with the real world. Most of us would have rather money than tangible wealth, and a great occasion is somehow spoiled for us unless photographed, is oddly more fun for us than the original event. This is a disaster, for as a result of confusing the real world of nature with mere signs, such as bank balances and contracts, we are destroying nature. Time to wake up.
And the Assange Defense Committee invite you to tune in to a very special event. Julian Assange's father and brother, John and Gabriel Shipton, will be arriving from Australia to conduct a four-week-long, 18-city marathon speaking tour, Home Run for Julian. They hope to educate people about Julian's arrest, his persecution, and the legal case where the U.S. is currently requesting his extradition from the U.K. in order to face trial here for espionage. It is the first time in history a publisher has been charged under the Espionage Act, now over 100 years old. Guest speakers will be the satirist and radio host Randy Credico, journalist and television host Chris Hedges, journalist at the Gray Zone Aaron Mate, and composer, Pink Floyd co-founder, and activist Roger Waters. That's Thursday, June 10th at 6 p.m. right here on WBAI New York.
You are tuned to WBAI.
I want my freedom.
New York.
Ah!
99.5 FM.
You gotta get me my freedom!
Streaming on www.wbai.org. Freedom of Speech Radio.
Welcome. This is Dr. Michio Kaku, professor of theoretical physics at the City College and the Graduate Center of the City University of New York, and this is Exploration. Every week on Exploration, we discuss the fascinating world of science and its impact on society. Well, let me make a short announcement, and then we're going to jump right into some of the top headlines in science and politics of the past week. First of all, go to my website if you want to find out more about this program. My website is mkaku.org, mkaku.org. And you can see some of the interviews that I've done promoting my latest book, which is now a New York Times and Amazon bestseller. The book is called The God Equation, The Quest for a Theory of Everything. And I've done interviews on the Stephen Colbert Late Night Show, PBS Television, MSNBC, CNN, Fox, and any number of blogs about the greatest quest in the history of science. And that holy grail of science is to find a single equation, perhaps no more than an inch long, that will unify all the forces of the universe and allow us to, quote, read the mind of God. These are the words of Albert Einstein, who spent the last 30 years of his life chasing after an equation, perhaps no more than an inch long, that will help to decode this universe. In the same way that E equals MC squared decoded the history and the origin of the sun and the stars, he thought a similar equation would decode the entire universe. Well, unfortunately, he failed, but today we think we have it. This missing paradigm, this missing theme, principle that governs the entire universe is music. The music of subatomic particles, the music of the quantum theory, so that all the particles that make up the universe are nothing but musical notes like A, B flat, C sharp, just musical notes vibrating in space, giving us atoms and molecules, people and stars. And then what is physics? Physics is the harmonies we can write on these vibrating strings. What is chemistry? Chemistry is the melodies you can play when these strings bump into each other and collide. What is the universe? The universe is a symphony of strings. And then what is the mind of God? The mind of God would be cosmic music resonating through hyperspace. Well, if you want to find out more about my work, more about exploration, and more about my latest New York Times bestseller, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, or go to my Facebook site at Michio Kaku. In fact, we have 4.5 million fans on Facebook. But let's now jump right into the top stories of the past week. First of all, there's a lot of fallout coming from President Joe Biden's statement that within 90 days, he wants the intelligence agencies of the United States to come up with a definitive answer as to where did the coronavirus come from. Well, some scientists are shaking their heads because, well, we may never know. You see, the only organization that knows what really happened in November of 2019 is the Chinese Communist Party. And they're not telling anyone. In fact, they claim that they are perfectly innocent of any shenanigans that may have taken place to create, possibly, the coronavirus. So in some sense, we may never know. And the whistleblowers that alerted the world to that something fishy was happening in China, well, some of them disappeared. They're no longer with us. And some of them passed away because of the coronavirus. But what we do have is a trail of coincidences. Last week, I detailed over 10 coincidences. And again, one coincidence or two coincidences does not prove anything. But when you string together 10 coincidences, then you begin to wonder. For example, where did the virus originate from? Most people originally thought it was the food market in Hunan. Now we realize that that's not true, that horseshoe bats were probably the origin of the coronavirus. One virus found in bats is 97% identical to the virus infecting most of the planet Earth at the present time. But the question is, where did that horseshoe bat come from? Realize that that horseshoe bat comes from Yunnan province, which is hundreds of miles away from Hunan. So what's the connection between the horseshoe bat, the food market, and the institute, two virology institutes? Well, the link is the scientists at that laboratory that imported the horseshoe bat from Yunnan into Hunan, did experiments, and then the most damning coincidence is they were doing just not ordinary experiments on the virus. They were doing gain-of-function experiments. They were actually toying with the virus to make it more lethal. Think about that. This is potentially one of the greatest killers of modern time. And what did they do there? They made it more lethal. And who was funding it? In part, the United States. So the United States was funding research that led to a gain of function in some of these horseshoe bat viruses that were imported from Yunnan province into Hunan. So what's the connection there? Well, these are just coincidences. And then in November of 2019, we know that three scientists came down with flu-like symptoms, very similar to the coronavirus, in November of 2019. And as I mentioned, several scientists have mysteriously disappeared or passed away because of the virus. And so we're left with a trail of coincidences. And unfortunately, some scientists are shaking their heads and saying that any evidence there was, a smoking gun, might have already been destroyed by the Chinese Communist Party. But hey, let's face it, nobody knows. We have lots of question marks. A lot of the question marks are pointing toward the Chinese Communist Party. But sad to say, there is no smoking gun yet. And some scientists are saying we may never have a smoking gun because all the evidence has been conveniently burned away. Also, let's say a few things about traveling during this season. A lot of people are taking off after the Memorial Day celebrations. People are saying, it's over. It's over. I got my life back. Well, not so fast. It turns out that only about 50% of the American population has been fully vaccinated, meaning that the other 50% has not been fully vaccinated. And if you read between the lines, the CDC guidelines say that you can take off your mask, A, if you're outdoors, B, if you're with other vaccinated individuals. But if you take off your mask indoors and you're with a group of people that are not fully vaccinated, just remember the vaccine is not foolproof. The Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine are about 94 to 95% effective, but the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is only 65 to 70 or so percent effective. In fact, 8 Yankee baseball players who were fully vaccinated with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine came down with a positive reading on the coronavirus. So a word to the wise, when you head off to the beach, when you head off to the airport, a word of caution. First of all, a word of caution. If you talk to somebody, just remember that talking is one of the main ways in which the virus spreads. Scientists made a mistake underestimating the lethality of simply having a conversation. Try to keep your conversations down to 15 minutes or less. If you have to talk to somebody, make it short, okay? And if you're outdoors, yes, that's an added layer of safety. But if you're indoors, watch out. And especially watch out if you're talking to people that you know are not vaccinated. If you're indoors, there's a greater chance that aerosols will be floating in the air for hours at a time. In fact, we now realize that that's perhaps the single most common way in which the virus spreads. Indoor transmission for greater than 15 minutes in a crowded environment with unvaccinated people. That is the number one way in which the virus is spread. And if you take an airlines, then go take a window seat. If you have a choice, take a window seat. Try to be as far away from other people as possible. Don't engage in just random chit-chat unless you know the other person you're talking to is fully vaccinated. Also, before you sit down, wipe down the hard surfaces in your seat. Bring some wipes along. Wipe down the hard surfaces because the virus can live on these hard surfaces for a few hours to a few days. And remember that the air on most flights are filtered, and so that is a layer of safety that you can depend upon, at least if you believe the word of the airlines. And again, if you're in long lines, obey social distancing, keep chit-chat to an absolute minimum, and if possible, do as much of the stuff outdoors rather than indoors. Because just remember, we are far away from attaining herd immunity. Herd immunity is when you can finally rip off your mask and declare with a certain amount of confidence that you are relatively safe. But that requires maybe 70% of the population being vaccinated. We don't know the exact number. But at the present time, we're only talking about half the population are fully vaccinated. And just remember that new mutant viruses are coming our way. There's yet another one announced.